Hey, this is Marilyn Gigliotti.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran.
Hey, everybody. My name is Scott Schiaffo, actor best known as the Chuli's gum guy from the film Clerks.
And welcome to Clerks Minute.
You're listening to Clerks Minute.
And I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, this is Mike Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Men, the podcast I sell comics, and the Ming and Mike Show. And you're listening to Clerks Minute.
What's up, everybody? This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. You got a minute? Good, because you're listening to Clerks Minute.
Hey, this is Walt Flanagan, the Lon Chaney of the 90s, and you are listening to Clerks Minute.
Back to Clerks Minute, the show where we look back at the 2006 Kevin Smith sequel, two long, drawn-out, thoughtful minutes at a time. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
And I'm Scotty.
I had nothing funny for these 2 minutes. I really didn't. I had nothing funny, Kyle.
Yeah.
Nothing funny.
Yeah.
But before we get into the second half, before we get into what we're going to talk about, Scotty, you're here for Clerks, the first movie. You're here for the first movie. Have you ever seen this movie?
I've never seen any Clerks movie.
So you're coming in completely, have no idea what's going on.
That's correct, yep.
So this is fun. This is actually an interesting time to come in the movie, because much like when we have later on in the season, we have Dad come in for the exact same problem. I have no idea what was going on. So, Kyle, he walked in a weird time. We have to really explain some shit going on here, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, first of all, before we get into the driving sequence, which we'll get into in full detail, we start our scene, Kyle, with the end of the previous scene, which was Randall talking to, well, the probably we will know later as Sexy Stud, about Kelly and the donkey show that we're going to be having later in the movie, and where it's going to be set up.
Yeah.
And he wants to know if we're doing it inside the restaurant. And I love the logic of it's not spacious enough. It's plenty spacious, just kind of weird. And Randall's response, you're in the bestiality business, dude.
You can't really argue with that logic.
Really, you can't. But, as we know, they like to call it interspecies erotica.
Hey, fucko. We prefer to call it interspecies erotica.
Intriguing. So, before we get into the sequence that Scotty's actually here for, you're coming in with the setup of the donkey show. Have you ever heard that sentence in your life?
I have not, no.
Have you ever heard of interspecies erotica at that point?
Nope.
We walked in at a weird moment for you, haven't we?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Well, good thing is you don't have to do the donkey show like our other guests later in the runwell. So we have a lot. We have a lot of guests that are lined up for that. So we'll get to that with them later. What we're here for is the reason I brought Scotty in here, because he's our music guy. He's actually in a band, and you want to tell people about that while we get things set up here.
So I've been playing the last 4 or 5 years now with my dad's band, Primetime. They're a lot older than I am, so they're...
Oh, it's a family thing, right?
Yeah.
It's a family thing.
Their will to play every weekend isn't as great as mine. If I had my choice, I'd be playing out every weekend, but hopefully in the next few months, I'm going to start looking for a nice little band to join.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah, this is coming out in December, so a little after things go on. But a couple times a year you perform. It's nice. It's fun. Yeah, funny. And I think it's cool that you get to play at your own wedding, which is a family tradition, you're telling me.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, we cut back, and we have Dante driving in the car, and the song, Kyle...
1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes, the only song not on the Clerks 2 soundtrack. The only one in the whole movie. Which, I'm guessing it has something to do with rights, right, Kyle? It gotta be. You don't want to pay for the rights, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, because there's no other reason why this song is... They paid for the Jackson 5. Why did they pay for Smashing Pumpkins? I don't understand. But, yes, so Smashing Pumpkins 79 playing in the background. And before we get into the song, we cut to Dante driving. And I'll start off my notes here. That first of all, I find it, because I just renewed my car, so I find it funny that the car renewal in Jersey is actually on the windshield and not in the back. I completely forgot about that. And it's due in December. We're basing, where are we, in the summer, are we thinking?
Yeah.
Did we say that? We're in the summer? So yeah. We're due in December. Now, my other issue. Okay, so we were joking about back in back when we had, who did we have on for the Jackson 5 stuff? King Cannon from Everlasting Bay. Here's King Cannon. And we had him on, and we were talking about how Kevin wanted to do a musical number.
Yeah.
I'm convinced that the next, like, 3 or 4 minutes is him deciding he wanted to make a music video. I just think that's all this is.
And actually, I'm looking up on Core here about the song.
Yeah, go for
Beating.
It. Go for it.
Beating? I've got 3 interesting little things about it here.
Go for it. Go.
Okay. It's going to be a bit, but hey, it'll pad out the episode
that's
a bit.
That's fine with me.
First one is, doing some research, since it's been so long since I followed the Pumpkins, I believe it conveys a universal message of very universal themes like loss of hope, desolation, and finally resigned acceptance. Told from the perspective of a teen conflicted with the purpose of life, he/she traverses the stages of one's life, beginning a tenuous journey filled with vivid imagery charged with the live wire, but as the journey begins, one faces unending hope, depression, morphine city, slip and doze. And cynicism, we feel the pull in a land of 1,000 guilts and dead cement, forgotten and assured. As the journey winds down, the tempo of the song picks up and one can feel the last stab of life or attempt at hope being ignited on his/her journey. The lights, the towns below, faster than the speed of sound. But then, as the journey finally ends, the traveler reluctantly accepts the disquieting conclusion of mortality. Street heats, the urgency of sound, can't you see there's no one around?
Well done, well said.
The other one here is a... this song is such a masterpiece, so full of emotion and truth, sad and comforting at the same time. How life when you're a teenager feels urgent, exciting, and fast. It is about youth, about how when you're young, you live in the moment, eagerly striving forward towards all the great things that might await you in the future. That wonderful feeling that it will never end, that old age will never apply to you. Somewhere underneath, there is a sad awareness that it will eventually will come to an end, but it seems so abstract that you can't really take it in. We have our young narrator out in his car, perhaps with his friends, very present in the moment of now, which feels urgent and important, but as you can see, there's no one around. Is this possibly a slight turn towards existentialism we get here from Billy Corgan? At the core, are we all mercilessly alone? We have to go through life dealing with the knowledge of our mortality and the inevitable end on our own. Or is it perhaps a comment about how, when you're young, you have only yourself to focus on? I don't know.
Scotty, what are your thoughts on everything that was just said by Kyle when it comes to this meaning behind this song?
I couldn't agree more. Truthfully, it's an iconic song that today you really can't get out of your car without hearing it. I mean, I got
true.
In my car
that's
today.
True.
So I was actually trying to practice the song a little bit, trying to, you know, just fiddle around with it. For those wondering, it starts in A, switches to an E major 7th, switches to an E. So I was trying to fiddle around with it, and I get into my car, and I think, I'm not going to hear it on my radio. So I turn off my Kiss FM dial, and what do I hear?
The song.
Exactly.
Wow, that's crazy. It's so crazy that you're on the way to do this show to talk about this song, and you're hearing it on the radio. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, it really does fit the theme of the movie here.
It really, especially where we are. Where we are in the movie, where we're kind of at a turning point for the movie.
Yeah.
That's where we are in this movie. Yeah. And it's good. By the way, also another thing, bringing up to modern day with Billy Corgan, because Billy Corgan's big in my world now, in the wrestling world. He owns the NWA. And it's a weird sentence to say that Billy Corgan's in the wrestling business, but he is. Yeah. It's actually really weird. No, but it ties into my world. It was pretty cool.
I was going to say, any weirder than Vince McMahon trying to start up a football league?
Twice?
Yeah.
Twice.
Wait a minute. I only know of the XFL.
He's doing it again next year. The XFL again next year. In 2020.
This is one of those where you just go, dude, you tried it before, it failed. Just let it die.
It's happening again. It's ridiculous. Never mind, I'm not going to get this. I'm not going to get this on this show. I'm not going to get the XFL WWE stuff on this show. Anyway, so we get back. Okay, I have one question for Kevin Smith about the... I'm huge on transitions. I used to make videos all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm huge on transitions. I love transitions. Yeah. The corny transitions that come with the thing.
Yeah.
But I understand the point of this, but why did he put a transition, a dissolve transition between Dante's face into Dante's face?
Yeah.
It's not like Dante moved. It's not like time passed.
Because it's
there's no point.
Because it's very much a music video move.
Okay. It just like made no sense to me whatsoever why he did that.
You said this was probably him trying to make a music video, so it's a very music video move. I mean, you can say, think back of all the music videos you've seen. Have they actually had that effect?
So that's a good point. That's a valid point. Very valid point. And by the way, for those wondering, music videos are the things that are now on Vimeo.
Yeah.
They used to be on MTV. They used to be.
Well, they push them out to make room for, you know, my super sweet super sweet 16 or Teen Mom.
Whatever those crap shows are.
Yeah. Teen Mom on the Road
Rules. Oh, yeah, and that crappy Jersey Shore show that Sally loves.
Oh, yeah.
That's the best show ever.
Yeah, right.
Dude, go fuck yourself.
That's
all I got to say.
I agree with that sentiment. I agree with that sentiment a lot.
Even if the Three Stooges movie had sucked, which it didn't, it would have been worth it just to see Mo beat that living piss out of the Jersey Shore cast members.
I love the fact that the train to a Jersey Shore assassination. I love it.
Yes.
Oh, I should make that the title.
I remember standing in the...
I didn't do that.
I remember standing in the checkout line at the supermarket once during the show's heyday, and it said that for that season they were going to Italy. I remember remarking, in retaliation, Italy declares war on the U.S.
You can talk into the microphone. We can hear you. You can talk into the microphone.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know of, like, if it's going to, like, ruin anything if
Dude,
I, like...
first of all, the signs in the background, we've been talking about them since episode one.
Okay.
So you can bring it up if you need to.
There was a Jersey Shore sign in one of the
episodes. Because we're 20 minutes away from the beach in this area we're in.
They're
That's
in
why.
Leonardo,
We're legitimately New 20 minutes away from the beach where we are. That's why.
They're in Leonardo, New Jersey.
So... we're actually, we're not in Leonardo. Leonardo's like a 5-block radius.
Oh.
This is not Leonardo. This is actually, Leonardo in the cartoon is a lot bigger than Leonardo in New Jersey. Yeah. I know this from visiting it last summer.
Yeah.
They're actually in somewhere around Red State. Red Bank. We're around Red Bank.
Red Stank, what have you been drinking?
Well, Red Bank is where they are. Red Stank is what Q calls it on Practical Jokers.
Oh,
so there you go.
And Red State is another Kevin Smith film.
Exactly. So it all ties together.
I thought you said Red Stag.
No, I did not. I don't even know what the hell that is. What the hell is Red Stag?
It's whiskey or something.
I don't know. I don't drink much. I don't drink at all.
I was going to say, it sounds like a beer.
I barely drink. Dude, all serious, it's about drinking. There's beer in the fridge right now from August. Because I don't drink much. From SummerSlam weekend and All In weekend. That's in the fridge still. That was at the end of September, end of August and September 1st. They're still in the fridge. So that shows them what they drink. Anyway, speaking of our transitions, we cut to Becky sitting in her car. Becky, by the way, we found out a little while ago, Scotty, that we found out that she is pregnant with Dante's baby.
Oh. Just like the unborn chud.
Yes, we found that out earlier in the movie. By the way, Dante is not with her. We'll get to that in a minute. But she is actually at a women's clinic, which I'm not sure if she's there because she's thinking about getting an abortion or just there to make sure she's pregnant. What's the reason she's here?
Oh, no, she already got the results in that letter earlier.
I know, but you know, is that what that was?
Yeah.
So why is she here?
She's contemplating
an abortion? Is that what she's doing here?
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. That's actually what I was asking. It's a serious question.
Yeah.
It's actually a serious question. I made a note. By the way, also her car was also due in December.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Yeah. I think it's the same car. I'm not gonna lie, they drove the same vehicle. But I made a note. Rosario Dawson is absolutely amazing at face acting, and that takes talent to really face act in a movie, because you can tell how she's feeling just from removing her glasses and pushing back her hair, and that to me is amazing face acting. It's just amazing to me how you pull that off. So, I just want to make a note of that. Then we come back to movies. I'm not quite sure why, but Elias is mopping for no reason whatsoever.
Well, they got to make
sure. Are we checking in all the characters? What this is? Is he checking in all the characters?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he's got to make it all nice and clean for the donkey show.
And we'll get to that. And we see that, too.
Yeah.
But I do find it funny that he's mopping quietly to himself in front of his his fun employee. Why did we say this last time?
The fun employee of the month.
Yeah, there you go. Fun employee of the month sign.
Yeah.
The puns.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Emma, who's working on the first layer of the cake that we will see later in the movie.
And
Emma, by the way, Scotty, is actually Dante's fiance.
And I do have to point out how nice the transition is, because you have You have Elias mopping, and it cuts, and it translates.
It's a perfect transition.
Transition seamlessly into her spreading the frosting on.
And that's perfect. And also what I liked, and I put this in my notes, I think, because there are some scenes later in the movie they do this, I wonder if they played the song for her.
Yeah.
While she was doing the scene, because they didn't need dialogue. They could drop out the sound, because she's moving in perfect unison in the music. It's like, perfect.
Kind of like Goodfellas with how they shot some of these scenes.
Absolutely perfect. I thought that was well done.
That's because, especially the giant centerpiece in there with the Lufthansa, I can't remember how you pronounce it, but the heist members being found dead, set to Mariah.
Yeah. I do find it funny that she actually had to unpack the mixer in the bowl from the back behind her. Yeah. I want to make a cake. Oh shit! I packed the mixer right.
I didn't think this through.
I know. That's exactly what it was. So then we come back to, and apparently Scotty's on last season. We introduced Jay and Bob, and now we're back here in one of the last sequences at the wall of Jay and Bob, and Jay is dancing
in slow mo,
in slow motion, which might be the funniest Jay dancing in the whole movie because it's in perfect slow motion to the music, and Bob's not moving in the background, just smoking. This is in the background. Oh, and by the way, I find it also funny that we did transition from Mrs. Smith to Mr. Smith.
Yeah. Does he go to Washington?
Emma's actually Kevin Smith's wife in real life.
Does he go to Washington?
No. But I did find that as a cool suggestion. I realized that the second time around watching it back. So then we cut back to the movies, and we have Randall just sitting in deep thought.
Yeah.
Contemplating everything that's gone on today.
And I think that's actually probably the reason why they put the song here, because it's Randall basically realizing he's not in his 20s anymore.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's just...
it's good setup for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Another good like, Randall, we've learned in this movie, I guess, like, Jeff Anderson, and a better actor than he was back in 94.
Yeah.
Because he just, again, you could just read his face, and it's fantastic, you know?
It's just one of those where it's what have I done with my life, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and we talked about that earlier in the car after the go-kart scene. It's all tying together. This is a nice tie-together scene of everything else going on. And in the background, you see our sexy son setting up the donkey show.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, why did we turn the lights off here? Is this just for dramatic effect in the video, or is there a reason? Because we turned the lights off again later.
I think probably for dramatic
effect. Okay, I was just thinking about that for the donkey show later, because the lights were on when they came back in. Yeah. Like, that made no sense. Then we come back to Dante, pull it in front of a house, and see the family having dinner. And I know the other people in this scene are people, I just don't know who they are right now. But the more important one is the little girl that sits up in the window. Kyle, who is the little girl sitting in the window?
Harley Quinn Smith.
That is Kevin's daughter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Harley Quinn is like Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
Harley Quinn Smith. That is his daughter right there in 2006.
I'm trying to figure out how...
she looks like him.
That's the point.
I'm trying to figure out just how Miss Schwalbeck there accepted that as the name.
She actually, it was her idea. True story. As actually said in it was her idea, because when she was pregnant, she was in a bathtub when she was pregnant, and the only thing that was there was his comic books. And she was reading a Batman comic, and she asked him it would be okay if they named the kid Harley Quinn. It was her idea. That's amazing to me. If you think about it, that's pretty amazing.
Okay, so what you're saying is, for a next child, if I want more of an influence, I need to set Kayla in the bathtub with my FIFA magazine. Okay, is that
how it works? By the way, this is Harley Quinn now.
Her face is a little, I don't know.
But I'm just saying, well, that's Harley now. That's her at 19. She's now 19 years old. So. She's now hosting a freaking DC show on the DC streaming service.
I would basically wolf whistle and do the whole thing, but I'm kind of creepy.
It's creeped out now looking at her baby's up over here.
Well, that and also I'm...
and it's Kevin's daughter.
Well, that and I'm also 31 and she's 19.
She's 19, but she's legal. That's the important part at the end of the day.
Okay, so...
it's not as creepy when he's legal, and she's legal.
Okay, so she's legal then. Commence drooling.
But no, that's pretty cool. I like the fact that we literally, in this 2-minute sequence that I just caught up because I wanted to have the 79 sequence cut in half because of 4-minute span, that we had all three Smith members of the family in one sequence.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So, all right. kind of enters off on this song or anything else in this movie that you're looking at that's like, what the fuck did I walk into again with this movie?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, then that's where we wrap things up. I normally I say plug away, but you don't have anything to plug. Maybe where they can find you on Twitter.
That's a good question.
You tweet at it. You use the Twitter account.
I use it, but I don't. Let me.
I know you don't have Instagram or anything, so we'll go with Twitter.
I actually do have Instagram.
Since when?
But it's not under me.
Oh, you can't. It doesn't count. It does not count if you use your wife's Instagram. It does not count.
It's not my wife's. Dude. So. This is my Instagram.
That doesn't count.
Oh, it counts.
No, it doesn't.
All right, so my twatter is...
What is your Twitter account for people who can find you?
It's loading.
It's loading. Well, while he finds his Twitter, you can find us at Clerks Minute at all the social medias. Find us on Instagram. I post up our shows in the morning, like a little while before the show posts. I put up polls. I put up a whole bunch of stuff, and you can vote. You can have some fun with us over there. Also, join our Facebook community, the Clerks Minute Convenience Store group on Facebook. And talk about the show there. Now, where can they find you on social media?
Okay, so it's at, okay, the A.
I got it. We know what at is.
Scott Fellows, my name, and then the number 23.
Yes, that's Scott Fellows 23. That's where you can find him, and you can find us all over the place. Thank you so much for listening.
Although, I'm sorry, I think with the amount of assholes on Twitter, twatter is actually a better name.
There are times. Yeah. All right, we're part of the Podcast Network here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Here with me on the Blake and Sal Show every single Friday, and on No Days But Today with my beautiful wife, Mandy, talking about the movie Rent every other Friday. Till next time, where we continue on with the 1979 sequence. Thank you, Scotty, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good day, everybody.
Shake down 1979.
Snorting, snorting, smoking weed, doing coke, drinking beers, rolling baddies, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts? We smoke the blunts, rolling blunts and smoking.